Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know what that music means? It means it's time for our weekly appearance from Brian Scalabrine. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline, and he's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, Perfecting the Art of Fresh, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. What's going on, Scal?
I'm doing well. You guys?
We're doing well. How are you enjoying the in-season tournament? You a fan of that?
I don't like the courts. Some of them are really intense.
Thank
Boston's
you.
Boston's not bad. Golden State's not bad. Lakers actually not bad. It's like...
Wait, which one's
wait,
not
bad? Wait, that was
like,
purple?
Wait, what was the first one you said? Which one's not
you
bad?
You like the purple Lakers Boston court?
No, I'm saying it's not hard to watch.
You like the Celtics one?
It's not bad. I mean, I don't like that the parquet is covered, but it's not a hard watch on TV. Like, the green doesn't blur your eyes. Like, the reds and the – like, it's all about that, like, the side. If the sides are bright colors, it's tough. Purple, bright purple, or the purple stripe down the middle is, like, a big difference.
Scal, I hate all of them. How do we get them to rip these courts up?
I mean, it ain't going to happen this year, so I don't know if they make a change next year. I just think they should have made a subtle change, but it's fine. The games have been good. I mean, I think players are sort of embracing it.
Do you get any sense whatsoever? So you just said it, I guess, so expand on that. Do you get any sense whatsoever, I was going to ask, if the players care about winning?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I look at it is, as it gets closer, right now we're too far away. No one knows any scenarios in which we know some scenarios where teams have been eliminated, but there's no scenarios in which we're like, okay, if we win this game by 8 points, we're locked to finish number one seed and have a home court game on Tuesday. So I think that will happen. So the game after Thanksgiving, this is Friday, and then there's another game on Tuesday. By that time, there'll be a lot of juice, and maybe even we're talking on Wednesday about, all right, here's the Celtics first-round matchup. They're going to have this, and then as you get closer – we'll see how much they care when you're talking about making that trip to Vegas. Like, once you get past the quarterfinals, we'll see how many teams go all in at that point to know they have to get on a plane and go to Vegas. And then once you're there, you might as well win it. You got $500,000 on the line.
Do you get to go if they go, or those are nationally televised games, so you don't get to go?
The last two I won't go, which is fine. I mean, Vegas is not really my style.
What is it about this in-season tournament that's bringing out the violent side of all these players? There was like three fights yesterday. What's going on there? Is it just early season? They're seeing each other? Or is it just Draymond Green or what? Like, it seems like everyone's really angry.
So if you look a little closer, it's when the NBA schedules those back-to-back games. There's a little carryover from that. And normally, you know, they'll play Minnesota and then, you know, 5 months later, you know, two guys that could have had beef don't have beef anymore, and then they go out there and play. But the fact that it's 2 days later, there's a lot of carryover today. It's no different than a playoff series. So I think some of the intensity is that. You saw the Philadelphia-Indiana game. There was some juice on that one. You saw the Minnesota-Golden State game. Those were both, you know, they call them home and homes, right? I mean, not home and homes, but two-game trips or two-game series. So when you see those, I think you get more intensity. I like them. you know, you make one trip, you go play two games. I feel like there's juice in both those games, but some people don't like them for that reason. But I think they're great.
What do you think should happen in Draymond Green?
So I was thinking like anywhere between 2 and 5. Two would be slap on the wrist. 5 would be send a message. You know, I don't think he gets less than 2 because there was no like you're not supposed to escalate a situation. That's just a deal. Now I will say like I'm not trying to back Draymond Green. He's totally in the wrong. But here's like a thing for all NBA players: if you're gonna break up a fight, just pull your own guy off of it. Don't try to pull the other guy off. That's not your job. Rudy Gobert trying to pull Klay Thompson away, you can get hurt in those situations. But Draymond Green is going to get – I think he'll get 2 games to 5 games. And it's all about the league, you know, wanting to send a message to him.
Refresh my memory, and we're talking to Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, makes his weekly appearance here on Jones and Mega with Arkin. Were you with him in Golden State, Draymond?
Yeah, I loved him. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. How is he?
He's a brilliant basketball player. Sees the game at such a high rate. Great. Spoke his mind, even though he wasn't like where he's at right now. That was my guy to work with. His instincts are amazing. He just like sees the game before it develops. He's really good at moving the basketball, makes quick decisions. And I always loved, very similar to like when I played with Kenyon Martin, and Kenyon Martin was a borderline all-star, if not an all-star, very free to speak their mind and just really understand the game on a really high level.
Scal, it's the Sixers again, 2 teams, 8-2. Do you think that the Eastern Conference is going to look like this with these two in the 1 and 2 spots for most of the year?
So far, it looks that way. A few things going on just around the league, right? There's always drama. So, like, Milwaukee doesn't look good right now. They just look old and slow. I don't know what's going on with Damian Lillard, but I feel like he'll figure it out. But the rest of their team, it's like the regular season is a young man's game. You want to play fast. You want to play with multiple efforts. They just don't look that way right now. Philadelphia is really good. You guys are hearing about this Kelly Oubre situation where he got hit by a car allegedly, yeah. But now they've scoured all the videotape and they can't find anything. I don't know if that's going to cause a distraction for a guy who's like, he averaged 20 points a game last year. He's really good for this team. You could chalk him up for 16 points a game. He's a minimum contract guy. Tyrese Maxey has taken a huge leap forward. And obviously Embiid is really good. And Nick Nurse is a great coach. He's a great coach for this group. So I don't know if that Oubre thing will hang over them, if there's any issues with that, but I think it looks like to me the two best teams in the East as of right now are Celtics and the Sixers.
So I think a week ago when I talked to you, Scal, I asked you about the bench, or definitely before that. With Sam Hauser, the rate that he's shooting right now is just unbelievable. Do you think he's found something that's sustainably different than who he was on this team last year?
I think he's getting the coaches and players are imploring him to be aggressive, so that's good. He's getting regular minutes, so that's obviously good. And I think defensively, he hasn't been exposed at all. So I think he's been really good. I think he really sees the game well. And so the one thing, like the challenge, like if you guys really, instead of talking about the bench, what you really should be harping on is, can the Celtics find a 5-man unit that does not include Jason Tatum that's really good, that can have some dominating games, can win you games? And they haven't found one yet.
Yeah, Mego.
I'm not trying to like disrespect you guys or anything like that.
You don't think they can do that with Jalen?
No. I it's not what I think. It's just what the numbers show. I'm telling you what they need to do is find a 5-man unit that will be a difference maker. Like right now, every 5-man group you put out there with Jason Tatum, it's good. Mm-hmm. So forget like bench and starters. Just look for, give me a 5-man unit that doesn't include Tatum, that like has like the NBA identity like that. Because right now, Tatum off the floor, they're -5. Like they're the best team in the NBA. Everyone would count like would co-sign that. But yet when Jason Tatum's off the floor, they're -5. That's not normal. I mean, it happened in Denver with Jokic, but a lot of times Mike Malone likes to play Jokic with a few guys, so he wouldn't go all in on a second unit. But they got to figure out like who's going to be that unit that can win you games, that can sustain it. And I don't care if it's 4 starters and Sam Hauser or whoever, or 4 starters and Al Horford, whatever the unit is, they need a consistent 5-man group that you throw in there and you're like, man, I really love this team right here. So that's what I would be focused on with them. And I'll probably be focused on that for the next month or so.
We're a little focused on Mazzulla and some of his antics, if you will. What do you think of his challenge late in the Toronto game? I mean, I heard you on the broadcast, but what do you think he was trying to accomplish with that challenge with like 3 minutes left in a blowout against Toronto?
It shows that he's got the backs of those guys. Like, you know, if you're a coach, you're going to employ your players. Like, you got to play to the end. Come on. Like, I remember when Peyton Pritchard played awful in Washington. He got an earful for that. And then he was great in Indiana the next night. So if you're going to ask your players to play, you know, coaches, they got to coach to the end. So listen, to me, anybody that gets upset when they get smoked, it's always a deflection of something else. Like it's Toronto bringing up the fact that they can talk about Joe Mazzulla doing that as opposed to getting smoked. So that's how I look at all this. When guys get upset or a guy that takes a shot late, they're like, you know what, let's make the entire post-game press conference about that versus we suck tonight. So I don't take any – like, I think everybody that goes out there and plays has a job to do, and they got to do it until there's triple zeros on the clock. So if someone has a problem with that, to me, it's like bringing up it's similar to LeBron saying, I'm going to retire after Jokic smoked them 4-0, right? So then it's like all the talk is LeBron retiring, not – the Lakers just got swept by the Denver Nuggets, and Jokic is the nastiest player in the NBA. So all deflection, if you're asking me. I could be wrong, but that's what it looks like.
But in fairness, your reaction on the broadcast was something like, come on, Joe, or something like that. That was just your
–
that was just as an analyst just watching the game?
No, it's like me wanting to go home early.
You know? Okay, I don't blame you for that.
5 minutes? Come on, Joe.
Yeah.
But no, like, but if I was a player, I want him doing that for me. If I was a player, I want my coach – so let's say we're up by 25 and sure. The coach is sitting down. Oh, he stood up for the starters. Can he stand up for me too? That's all it is. That's as a player, I would want that. As a broadcaster,
trying to get out of there.
I want to go home a little
earlier. GTFO. I understand that. Okay, so from the outside looking in, we see, I thought maybe we'd get a different Joe Mazzulla in press conferences. I don't know how much you care about this, but it's one of the things that fans and we in the media can consume because we're not around the team behind closed doors like you are. So it's one of the things we consume and we see Joe Mazzulla and his interactions with the media. He's had a few back and forths now with Gary Washburn. Not to single in on that one, but just, we still see Joe Mazzulla being somewhat combative with the media. Do you sense a different Joe Mazzulla this year? Or is what we're seeing what we're getting?
I mean, I think he's improving. You know, like I've had my own thoughts that I shared with Joe and about this whole thing. And, you know, like, Joe, like to me, Joe is really bright. I think he should treat the media with a little bit more respect because he is a really bright mind. When it comes to this game, he's really smart. He's really smart. Brad Stevens is not going to hire him. He's not going to continue to coach if he wasn't really bright. I'm telling you, he's bright, but he has to understand, like, if the media just mails in, and like an article or like a topic like Gary Washburn and three-point shooting, you know, some people, narratives are sticky. And like people still think that Tom Thibodeau is a great defensive coach when they were fourth in the NBA last year in offense. So like people sometimes don't do the work they're supposed to do to understand what's really going on, right? So I just think it's like another mail in, like, oh, you can't do this, or coaches always do that, or it's three-point shooting. There's more nuance to the game than that. You can't take a general number every time the Celtics lose and say, was that too many threes? And Joe could have said, you know what, it probably is, but, you know, when you got Rudy Gobert and Joel Embiid out there, you're going to end up getting a lot of three-pointers. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, right? That's a really respectable way of doing it. But the reality is, when Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert are out there, you're going to take more threes. That's just how the game goes. So it's not just a, hey, are you shot too many threes today? Again, so there's just more to it than that.
Yeah, not everybody's hoops guys like us, Scal. I get it. Not everybody understands. So he's Brian Scalabrine. He joins us each and every Wednesday here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. Scal, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. See you.
All right, Brian Scalabrine is all our guest. Joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He could be a little nicer to the media, he said.
More respect.
That might have been what he said. More
respect. Show a little respect.
Yes. Okay.
And no one recognized him on the street during the interview.
Right? Oh, I forgot about that.
I think he was indoors somewhere.
Crap, I was going to ask about that. Are you paying Drew Carter to recognize you? I forgot to ask that. But yes, no, he was not recognized. It's like two out of four times he's been recognized this year. 617-779-7937. We'll get to our triple play next.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.